Jesus Christ the Savior, the only begotten. I believe in his virgin birth. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, but rose on the third day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. This I believe.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, breath of God Almighty, the Lord, the giver of life. He has spoken through the prophets and with the Son and the Father. He's forever glorified. I believe in the church triumphant.
Chips when you were a kid?
With your hosts, Matt Moore and Matt Mastromano.
And hey, Bruce, I'm doozing!
Oh, yeah!
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
There's lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
And brutal takes on music, movies, food, sports, and more.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
WMFO Metro.
So the loonies are outside in the real world, and here we are with the keys to the loony bin, boys.
Maybe we made
Good morning. Welcome to Brewer Brunch here at WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Back to regularly scheduled programming here.
Hell yeah.
Matt is back from yet another.
Woo!
I don't even know where he was.
Woo!
I was in Philadelphia. Visiting our friend Kevin Werner. We went down.
Our one caller.
Went to our one caller. It was pretty good times.
Nice.
We went to I made them go to all these awful arcades in like rural, you know, towns near Philadelphia. We went to this place called Arnold's, and it was like the cheapest place ever. It was like a nightmare. But they had a thing where it was like, first of all, it's like kind of like a thing where you go in and you get a card, you know, instead of tokens.
Yep.
But there was like go-karts and like there was children's laser tag, and then there was this thing called like laser battle or something where you'd walk through like essentially a haunted house and shoot clowns that would like pop up like, ah, and you shoot.
Sounds
them.
Perfect.
It was actually kind of awesome. So we thought we had signed up for sweet go-karts and that laser tag. But what we signed up for instead was like children's laser tag. So me.
How did you manage to do that?
Crushed them. We were just not paying attention. So we went in to the laser tag thing with the little kids. They're running around the room, and we're like, we're just going to stay on one wall, the three of us, and just like aim at children. So the kids would be running around the corner and be like, ah, just like lighting them up. So it was good times. And then we did do the clown thing, which is pretty neat. It's pretty cheesy. I feel like the real scary part was like one of these animatronics is going to like misfire and like whack me in the eye or something. But good times. Philadelphia. I recommend it. Ate a bunch of garbage.
Excellent. Well, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Welcome back. Kicking things off with some local new stuff again. Protean Collective. That was the drought of Collapse, which they're having a CD release party on August 4th, Upright Music Hall, along Power Glove and some other sweet bands. So you can check that out in full then.
The Power Glove is so bad.
And, so you missed last week, too. It was our Linkin Park tribute show.
Yeah.
It went well. Good playlist. Good feedback.
Good
stuff.
I was thinking about Linkin Park when you basically G-chatted me first to say Chester Bennington had passed away. And I was like, because I hadn't thought about Linkin Park in quite a while, although they've been consistently putting out music, basically. Because when I was about 100 pounds lighter, I used to row crew in college, and they would just force us to listen to Papercut for hours and hours and hours. We rode in a hallway. It was a nightmare. It gave me like a complex with that song. Now I can listen to it again and be like, you know, this is a pretty good song.
Yeah, so you and Kevin, right?
Yeah.
Just sharing rowing stories?
I literally said the same thing when I said, oh man, Chester, he killed himself. And he's like, oh, we have to listen to Papercut for like 5 hours in a row every day.
That's what we started the show with, so you'd love it. Or is our, one of our first songs we played.
Hit in the corner.
All right, so we got, you are back with the metal history.
Yep.
We have a metal concert calendar. We have Metal's Police Blotter.
Hell yeah.
We have all sorts of stuff to get to.
Hell yeah.
Including
Midnight Votes.
Yes.
I'm the press secretary now.
I tried to stay up for that, and then it was very clear they weren't actually going to vote for Midnight, so I went
to bed.
That's stupid. But, all right, so speaking of a band that's been away for a while and they came bursting back with a brand new song, this Woo! Is the band The Worst of Us, some experimental metalcore.
Oh, yeah.
And they are back with the song House of Lies, and we're going to play it now for you on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Make your blood. So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to
then
believe
what you're
going
to do is turn onto Marcy
and
Brett Avenue.
Just broke up.
And go past
and
the first three
she's
lights
happy about
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really
drive
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
and you should be
who
there.
Who am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right.
That's
I'll
what
see
I heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Brutal Brunch. That was the latest from Regium. That was Beckoning the Night off their New Beginnings EP. That dropped on the 20th. Before that, we had a brand new song from the band The Worst of Us. That was called House of Lies. And now, Matt is back, so it's time for...
Welcome to This Week in Metal History!
Welcome! July 22nd through July 30th. First of all, it's good to be back. I want to say, like, when I do this section... I research a lot of places. I like kind of poke around on Wikipedia to get like kind of a landscape of where we're going with stuff, and then I dig deeper into what's going on. But also, I listen to this great podcast called 30-20-10, which kind of tells you what happened 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Shout out to those guys. The rest of it is me looking for King Diamond stuff on the internet so I can bother Matt with it. Anyway, to the list. This week in 97, possibly the greatest one-hit wonder of all time, your boys, Harvey Danger, released Where Have All the Merrymakers Gone? You gotta crank that.
This so is good. Like the best quality version I've ever heard of this.
The worst quality version of the song I could find. I love this song so much. It's so perfect. I don't have a tattoo, but if I did, it would be all the lyrics of the song across my back. Equally metal this week in 97. I'm just going to let it play and see if you can guess it.
The story of two
unlikely friend.
Oh, is it baseball?
Who no. saw their shot?
What the heck's going on?
What is this?
The dog can't play basketball.
Oh, there's no rule that says a dog can't play basketball. Oh, Air Bud. July 20th, 97. Do you know there are 17 movies in the Air Bud franchise?
I did not know that.
Did you also know that the it is jurisprudence to say it is like literally like you can rely on it to say there's no rule that says an X can't play a Y is like going to court like that says no rule says dog can't be senator. You're in.
Bring your legal knowledge to the table once again.
You can do whatever. Oh, no. Sorry, guys. Let me vamp for a minute because I missed something.
I'm enjoying this. Your return to metal history starts off with Harvey Danger and Air Bud.
Yeah, Harvey Danger and Air Bud. I was also going to say, because Maggie briefly asked me to say that Nico Case's Virginia came out this week in 97.
Do we have an audio
left
for that?
The new pornographers. I guess I could. I didn't get one. More importantly, Creator releases the album Outkast. Creator, obviously, big fans of the show. They came back for us. It's the 8th studio album from our German thrash metal band Creator, released by Gun Records. Features more gothic rock and industrial influence, which you can really only hear in the
Wait,
backing.
When did this come out?
97.
Makes sense.
Then. So, I mean, like, it's all industrial. Yeah. All the thrash metal bands of like the late 80s were like, I guess we're industrial now. Like, but now they're like back to doing their thing, which is, yeah. I think, better. This is a good album. Yeah, it's industrial except for the vocals, which are metal as hell. Excuse me. July 23rd, 96, Iced Earth. Whoa, get out of there with this. Iced Earth releases the album... The Dark Saga, a concept album made for Todd McFarlane's Spawn. The next year, the Spawn movie would come out. Did you like the Spawn movie?
I haven't really seen it.
You didn't see the Spawn movie with like
I like Melinda Clark from the OC.
And what's his face? Michael Jai White was Spawn, yes. And John Leguizamo was the Violator. And what's his face was the bad guy. I can't think of his name. Charlie Sheen's dad. Martin Sheen. Was the bad guy.
Michael J. White was, wasn't he Jax in that fake, or not fake, but that Mortal Kombat trailer?
Yeah, the Mortal Kombat show that was, like, on YouTube where they were, like, playing it off like it was going to be a real show. He would be a great Jax. I mean, the guy's, like, the thing with that guy is, like, he's in a lot of stuff, and he's in a lot of stuff as, like, Karate Man, but I think when you see him, sometimes, like, they give him an opportunity to do humor, and you're like, he could be, like, a humorous leading guy, but they just make him, like, bland Karate Man, so... Like, it is what it is. This is Vengeance Is Mine off Ice Earth. The Dark Saga. Matt, do you know what happened on July 24th, 1990?
Yes.
Was the Pantera release Cowboys from Hell? I'm not even, there's nothing to say about this. This is their, by far their best song. It's their best album. Pantera will make a return on this list later in a weird way.
Does that mean like it's about Down or Super Joint Ritual or something like that?
Nope. Okay. The other way. Obviously Cowboys from Hell. It's the iconic album. This is iconic. This is the greatest song. I'm just going to pause it because we're going to come back and play that during the concert calendar unless I play something else. The heavy hitters continue. July 25th, 1983. Metallica releases Kill 'Em All. Another iconic album, of course. It doesn't get any faster or harder for Metallica, as far as I'm concerned. They wanted to release this album. My favorite story is the album was originally called... can I say the A word for butt? Probably, yeah. Right? It was originally called Metal Up Your Ass. And it was a picture of a hand with a knife coming through a turlet. And the record executives were like, I don't think people would buy this or stores would put it on their shelves. And they're like, fine. So they changed it to Kill 'Em All, and it's just a hammer with blood all over it. So this is Phantom Lord, which is my favorite song of this album. I mean, like, it doesn't get any faster for them. Like, it's funny when people say, like, oh, I only like old Metallica. Like, it was really, like, a one album when they had Mustaine, and, like, then they were, like, a different band. Like, they don't do this. They don't do this, like, loud, punk, aggressive, chest-beating stuff. They're, like, more experimental with everything.
I mean, like, song one...
Like the, like the next album.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like people, old people, I want to say, Gen X people who are like, oh, Metallica's like, it's really just one album you guys are talking about.
Yeah. Well, they don't even talk about that. They just think it's cool to say they like them before the Black album.
It's idiotic. I like them after St. Anger.
I like them during St. Anger.
I like them during St. Anger, and that's it. July 25th. Nope. July 25th, 1986.
Which, by the way, let me interject real quick. Did you
see... Happy birthday.
So, do you see how there was like the top... somebody did top albums by women, and it didn't have any...
125
metal.
Worst albums by guys? Did you see that?
Well, that was the response. I was going to say that. I was pissed, though, because they put Death Magnetic on that list and not St. Anger. Like, why? Where's the disconnect? Where's the... What are you doing?
I'm smashing all the chords in the room. Death Magnetic. I like Death Magnetic.
It's just odd that they would do that, because, like, I realized it was a joke. But it's like, so why would you pick the actual bad Metallica album?
Oh, I think Death Magnetic is fine. I think this new album is not great.
All right. Yeah.
Hardwired, I think, is... Of the,
not
like, old guy Metallica albums, like, it's... I don't like it. I like Death Magnetic fine, and I like St. Anger more, but like this is like whatevs. July 25th, 1986, Japanese heavy metal band Loudness releases the album Lightning Strikes. For some reason, a couple years ago, I got way into Loudness. I was like looking for...
Because
it's this particular style of like 80s hair metal that I like. Like, I like...
I can hear the like influence of the J-pop crew. In here, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You're going to hear it when the guy starts singing. He's a very beautiful man. But, like, I don't like the kind of generic, like, we're having a good time with chicks. And, like, if you put on any sort of, like, 80s Spotify and you're trying to, like, find new stuff, you're just going to find that. So I put on, like, a Motley Crue Spotify trying to be like, what sounds like these guys? And Loudness came up quite a bit. These guys are awesome. Great musicians. Still touring. Shout out to your boy Norbit. July 25th, 2002. Stone Sour released the single Inside Out.
Oh, no.
Listen to it. Listen to it.
Your boy Mo thinks this was like the best thing ever made.
I don't like the song.
I hate the song.
I don't like Stone Sour.
It came out. I was a Slipknot super fan, so I heard this and was like, get this garbage out of my face.
It's just like, it's just lame. Nothing. It's just nothing. It's like...
Like, it's kind of true. When Chad Kroeger said that Stone Sour is Nickelback, he was kind of right.
Chad Kroeger's not wrong. Like, I like Corey Taylor. Like, I'm going to agree with him in some sort of argument. But he's also, like, 100% correct.
Yeah.
Like, that is undoubtedly Nickelback. It's maybe not as... It is as cheesy as Nickelback.
Pretty much.
Whatever.
They're a little harder now, but yeah. That's
so hard. Yeah, they actually had an out... I heard some stuff with the new album sounding harder. It was weird. I'm like, what are you doing? Just do a Slipknot album. July 27th, 84.
Better than the last one, hopefully.
Metallica's back. They released Ride the Lightning.
I hope you play my...
Hell no. You think I'm going to play anything but this song off this album? What's your favorite song off this album? Because you're wrong, because it's this song. This is the best song ever written. What do you got? What do you got for me?
No, the best song off Ride Lightning is Escape. And my hot take is that the Hatebreed cover is superior to Metallica's version.
I wish I could fist fight you right now. Matt, remember when I said we'd come back to Pantera?
Yes.
Hang on. It's going to be shocking when the vocals kick in.
Was this like the album with the lion on it?
No, it's an album with like a multicolored, like 80s concert on the front. Anyways, Pantera from July 27th, 84, Projects in the Jungle, featuring not Phil Anselmo, obviously, but Terry Glaze on vocals. So it's much more. You can still kind of hear the groove of the like the groove thing in the guitar and with the drum, but it's obviously like you're like. Chicks are good! Anyway, Pantera rules. God bless those guys. Matt, July 29th, 1989, our favorite band, Guns N' Roses, releases the single Night Train, which is like, as far as I'm concerned, their only good song. I think Guns N' Roses is super overrated.
Guns N' Roses is terrible.
Like, Guns N' Roses has a new station on XM. They have two albums.
Like, is it all their music, or is it just...
No! It's, like, it's idiotic. They got rid of the punk station. Well, like, the basically, like, it was, like, the music that was in Tony Hawk game station. Because right. It was, like, some punk, some random metal,
good.
Some rap. And it was, like, fine. And they had a show that I like, Jason Ellis, who's, like, this idiot shock guy, but I like him. But, yeah, they're like, oh, it's now Guns N' Roses radio. I'm like, they have three albums. Like, stop it with this crap. Like, stop it with this crap. Like, honestly, stop it. Like, they're good album. Appetite for Destruction is a good album. And then it's kind of like, question marks for the rest of their albums. Like, get out of here, old people.
That's not even.
I'm here to fight all the Gen X people. I want Gen X people to come to the studio.
I mean, we went to school with people who were like, this is so good. My favorite music is classic rock, rap, and Guns N' Roses. Like, get out of here.
I like everything but rap and country. The one thing that I was going to say, too, is I was also thinking about this because it was a discussion with on satellite radio. And they were saying, like, what's the next, like, big pop metal band that's like Metallica? Because, like, you're still, it's like 2017, and you're like, well, who's headlining this tour?
Well, hasn't that been Avenged
Sevenfold?
Judas
Priest. I guess Avenged Sevenfold is kind of what they came down to as well. And I'm kind of like, are they, though? And I think the problem is, like, what is the 2000s era of music? Like, when, like, say, from 2008 on, like, you would say, if you were to go to a historian, you'd be like, what are the biggest artists of this era? It would be, like, Beyonce and Bieber and stuff. You know, like, it would be stuff like that. There's no,
well, it's
like,
hard because so many bands, I feel like it's, maybe it's not, but I feel like it's more in the past where they're just, like, bands for one album cycle were kings of the world, and then everybody, nobody cares about them anymore. Like, Kings of Leon had that.
Yeah, that's true.
The Killers had that.
It's much faster. It's much like...
Yeah.
Like, if you have anything bad or you don't consistently produce, like...
It's not even that, because they do consistently produce, and they'll sell some good songs.
But people are so busy. They're so, like...
on to the next thing.
They're so... Yeah, they're so, like, on.
So I don't even think it's because they're busy. I just think they're lame.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
Like, that's when I... So I compile, because I'm awesome, I spend my time making, like, a top 100 list every year. And there's been, like, last year, like, did you know Alien Ant Farm came out with a new album last year?
No.
And instead of being like, oh, that's kind of cool, maybe I'll check that out, people who knew Smooth Criminal were like, oh, that's so stupid, they're still making music. It's like, why is that bothering you, or why don't you want to check that out?
That's the,
like,
thing,
it's Alien,
right?
Ant Farm, there's some good songs on here.
So the question, it's kind of like a two angles question, which is, are we waiting for this next band to appear, or is it just that the culture is in such a way that, like, it doesn't matter? Like, that band could appear, and, like, no one would give a crap. It's Kevlar, by the way. I'm sorry. July 31st, 2007, Whitechapel releases their first album, The Semantic Defilement.
So happy they've evolved.
I don't like this album. We're talking about this earlier before we came in, and it's, like, it's just uncomfortable. Like, it's a good, like, if you were to divorce yourself from what this man is saying, you're like, it's fine. But, I'm like, then I'm listening to it, I'm like, come on, dude, just... Chill.
Plus, a lot of these albums sound the same. All the songs sound the same.
Oh, when you're making the pig voice, you do sound the same. I have to read the lyrics, by the way. I'm not, like, listening. I'm reading the lyrics. All right, I get it. You're a murderer. More importantly, July 29th, 2011, Powerwolf releases Blood of the Saints. This is Son of the Wolf. That's your metal history. Go forth and prosper. These guys are the best. I wish they would come to America once.
Have they not toured over here?
No. Every time I look up a tour, it's like, oh, like, tour. I'm like, hell yeah. And it's like, oh, I can see them in Germany or Germany.
All right, this makes for a good bed for concert
sure
list. The week of metal yet to come. Starting tonight. Yesterday at the Palladium was Summer Slaughter.
Yeah, Summer Slaughter.
Today at the Palladium, it's Like Moss to Flames with Currents, Afterlife, Letting Go, and Eyes of Lilith. Tuesday, August 1st, at once. You can't because it's sold out. I was going to say you can go to, but you can't go to anymore unless you made a reservation. It's Metal Yoga with Black Widow Yoga.
Damn it.
Wednesday, August 2nd, at the Paradise, it's the Melvins with the Spotlights. Thursday, the 3rd, at Bright Music Hall, it's Marty Friedman, Scale the Summit, and the Fine Constant. We talked about Marty Friedman crying a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at Ralph's, it's Metal Thursday with Fiacra, Skullhammer, Moratorium, and Cynicism. Friday, August 4th at Sammy's Patio, it's the Don't Cross the Stream CD release party with Dream Scipio, Cyperna, Travel, Amygdala,
One-ton Tommy Gunn composing the apocalypse and beneath the machine. And next Saturday, August 5th, at Midway Cafe, you can see Massacre, Swarm of Eyes, Arctic Horror, Oxblood Forge, Choose Your Power, and at Sonya, it's Galactic Empire, which is like a Star Wars band, Danger Kids, Without Warning, and Quick McKine. And that is your concert calendar for the week.
Hell yeah. You like the song? Power Wolf is so good.
A little bit.
Let's get the best. What's next?
What's next is your metal song of the week.
Black metal song of the week.
Should we just play it and then explain why afterwards, or should we explain why first?
Yeah, let's play it first, okay. And then we'll just tell the people.
Are you playing it, or am I playing it?
I think you should play it, because okay. I think the sound is wrong on this computer.
One second.
Oh!
Son of the Wolf!
All right, explain this.
Son of the Wolf!
Introduce your song.
Son of the Wolf!
This week's black metal song of the week is from your boy, Aboth, off his, it's not self-titled, because I think it's called Season of Mist. It's not, it's just a big picture of his face, and they refer to it as Aboth, but it is called Season of Mist. It is the last song on the CD, because I listened to the entire thing trying to pick my favorite one, because Rude video came out showing Aboth Doom Occultus falling down a hill because he was rocking so hard. Outside in the daytime, which makes no damn sense, somewhere at some festival in
Metal Days, I believe.
Somewhere where Eastern Europe, somewhere far away.
The best part of this video is, like I said, is how unnecessary it all was. Like, you see the screenshot and the headlines, you're like, oh, he must have fallen off the stage or like, rocked too hard. But it's like, no, he decides just to run up this hill, like on the other side of the fence where the crowd is. All the crowd's running up to him, and he's like, getting them all riled up.
He's running up the hill in all his boots and guitar and like not equipped to run up a hill, obviously.
And then he decides to go streaking down the hill, blaring his guitar, and gets about three quarters of the way down, hits like this muddy patch, and just
face plants. Like he face plants, and then he gets up and tries to give his guitar to a fan because Aboth Doom Occulto is the greatest musician that ever lived. Anyway, this is Endless off of Seasons of Mist.
No, I think it is Aboth. I think Seasons of Mist is like the distributor.
You think Seasons of Mist is the distributor?
Yeah.
I think it is. Maybe it is Aboth. It's unclear, I guess I'll say. 2016's Aboth?
Aboth. Discography, Aboth.
Aboth. Aboth.
Season of Mist is a label.
Oh! I feel like a fool now.
All right.
Anyway, Endless by Aboth.
By Aboth.
Off of Aboth.
Yeah.
And welcome back to Brewer Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Guys, I'm sorry I mistitled the Eboth album. It's very early and I'm tired.
That's fine. We forgive you.
Thank
forgive
you.
As long as we can keep Eboth safe.
Yeah, don't let him fall down hills. Jesus.
Here we go. So that was the latest from Soul Remnants. Or I should say, their latest album is out now, called Ouroboros. And yes. That was Echoes of Insanity. So you can check those guys out. And then before that was Eboth with Endless off the self-titled album.
Eboth.
Yes.
Not Doom Occulto. Last name.
Occulta, I believe.
Occulta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that you wanted to hear this song. So before we get into any further discussion. Yeah. Gonna fade out, right?
The song?
I thought a new one starts. Anyway, why don't you explain what we're listening to?
Okay, so yesterday, so it's not all metal for me. I can't just listen to metal 24 hours a day. No one can. So I was listening to a podcast and they had mentioned David Bowie's Starman. And so I listened to that. I went on YouTube and was like, oh, I'd like to hear Bowie do Starman. And then on the side column, there was like, oh, here's like this cover by this like Japanese disco singer. I'm like, I would like to hear that. And then like I went even deeper, and it was all like old 80s J-pop songs set to like old anime videos. And I'm like, this is fantastic. I love it. Because I think one of the things I do like about like 80s pop music is the synth and the bass, right? And just like lyrics, I don't want to listen to the lyrics because they're usually like very cheesy. So if the lyrics are in a different language, I'm like,
you don't have to worry about it.
You understand what this person
is. It's just like another instrument.
Yeah, it's just another instrument, right? I don't have to be like this could be cheesy as hell. This guy could be like, yo, why won't you date me and stuff? But I don't know what he's saying.
So what are we watching?
It's badass. This is Ghost in the Shell.
It is Ghost in the Shell. Okay.
Anyway, we can fade out of this, but
it's not the Scarlett Johansson version.
No. Yeah, nudity
NSFW.
On YouTube. NSFW YouTube. Alright. Thank you.
Right, we can just keep going.
I mean, you keep it in the
background. Metal's Police Blotter.
It is fantastic background music because it's great music to work to. That's what I was doing yesterday too.
Okay.
I was in the office and I'm like, I just need like relaxing music to like type and do stuff, and it's just so anyway. On to the Police Blotter.
On to the Police Blotter for last couple weeks in Melrose, Main Streets of Melrose. We always revisit this every week. I was getting disappointed. I was reading through listings. I got through Wednesday. There was nothing good. Jeez. Then we got the Thursday. And on Thursday, July 20th, a bag.
Start doing some crimes.
No Whole Foods. There's no omissions at Whole Foods this week. a bag found in front of an Upham Street home appeared to be smoking around 1 p.m. Whatever was causing that was extinguished before police arrived.
Was it a bag of poop? Was it a poop joke?
It may have been.
Classic.
May have been. Classic. Billy Madison.
A classic way to set someone's house on fire.
Even better. Saturday, July 22nd, police were told around 1:15 p.m. of a neighborhood dispute involving a tree that was cut down, possibly on the wrong property.
Uh-oh.
Those involved were told of their options.
What are their options?
I don't know. They leave you in suspense here.
Death
I think
jail.
We should follow. We need to, or I need to start following up with the police department and figure what the conclusion. Like when people were sent on the way, what does
sent
that mean? Where were they sent?
Judge Dredd shows up and he's like, cut down this guy's tree. You got two options.
What do you got? Yeah. And then someone told police that Granite Street at Beach Avenue was blocked off to traffic around 2:15 p.m. Police said that was because neighbors were having a legally sanctioned block party.
Sounds good.
No fun in Melrose.
No fun in Melrose.
You have a block party?
Absolutely.
You
want
to put flaming bags on somebody's porch?
Absolutely not.
You can't
I'll tell
do
you
it.
I'll tell you what grinds my gears is how people park the wrong way for the Cedar Park Farmers Market. They're ruining the streets.
Oh, like when they if they're driving down the street, they go with the left and are like facing.
They just like park on top of my dad's roof. Like every time I drive by there, I'm like, get out of my parents' driveway, you scumbags.
You know what? So Friday night was a summer stroll. Did you stroll through the summer stroll?
No, but I was driving to my place and like I saw it. I'm like, oh, I forgot about this.
I ran. Well, at first I bypassed it on my way to the track, and then I ran back through Main Street. Yep. I just got angry. I was like,
what is it?
All these, it's like a nighttime Victorian fair. Well, it's like, not really fair, but it's like all the restaurants have outdoor seating. They block off Main Street, that block.
Yeah.
And like,
But it's like the Victorian
special
fair
hours and menus. It's not like not everybody has a booth and stuff like that. It's
right,
more
it's
about
like, oh,
food
Flaherty's
and drink.
Concrete
and,
or yeah, yeah.
But there are tents set up. But I was annoyed because like all these people come in for Giacomo's and that nonsense. When it's like, I want sweet stuff back in Brigham's.
Oh,
like,
man,
give me the old Melrose. Not
yeah,
all these.
The I guess like so like
the gentrification of Melrose.
When I moved, I remember going to the Victorian Fair as a child, obviously, and just thinking about it as like, oh, candy. And then I like went to college, moved to Cambridge, and I got an apartment back in Melrose. And I'm like, oh, it's bad now. And I'm like, maybe just because I'm old now and not five or whatever, but I don't know.
Nah, it's changed that. There's like I said, I wanna can't buy my baseball cards or my Star Wars customizable card game cards
can't
anymore.
Can't get pogs.
Yeah, can't get true. A good ice cream. I shouldn't say that. There's good ice cream, actually. But there's no Brigham's. All right, that was Mel's Police Blotter. We might be in it next time, given the way we're talking.
I feel so.
And then I know, speaking of radio beef, we had two things going on, right?
I missed this.
Well, didn't you have something with your boys, Howie Ka and Alex Jones or something?
Oh, yes. So, occasionally, I like to listen to Howie Carr because I don't know, man, like he's wrong on everything, but it's just kind of like, I don't know, when I was driving around, my dad or my grandfather would have it on, so it's like real oddly comforting to just hear this old man bitching and moaning about whatever he doesn't like. So he's supporting Jeff Deal, who's this kind of like whatever local congressman out of Whitman, like state congress. He's gonna run against Warren and get crushed. So the Alex Jones, so it's fun. It's always fun to see the kind of the elements of the right fighting each other. So like Carr is like a professed Trump guy. He's like an old Republican guy, but he's not a Trump guy in the way that the like right wing conspiracy theory guys are, who are like, Obama's a demon. And so like they're pushing for this guy, and I can't think of his name. He's a businessman, allegedly.
Was he the guy who announced it a while ago? He was running, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an Indian American.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like a nut. He's a crazy nut. Anyway, so they're like, Jeff Deal photoshopped this photo of him with Trump, and it's fake. And they're like saying like Howie Carr was like an operative for like the left to like create a straw man, Jeff Deal. And they were just two idiots just screaming at each other into the nothingness of like the far right wing conspiracy guys and the right wing just radio guys. It was amazing. It was an amazing 20 minutes of radio because it was just idiots screaming at each other. Like, I'm real. This is not Photoshop. Go to my Facebook. And then, like, they were coming back with, like, well, I've been doing Photoshop for a long time. I'm like, what are you talking about? Anyway, it's amazing. I recommend it if you can find it somehow.
And then in the world of sports radio,
yeah, I missed
your
this.
Boy Fred Tutcher. So everybody by now knows the David Price story. David Price, big
yeah,
baby. I could have told you that from 10 years ago when he was on the Rays.
He seems like a baby.
But anyway, he confronted. He basically ambushed Dennis Eckersley on the plane. Told him to get the F out of here.
How dare you?
And everybody was a bunch of players were like clapping and cheering David Price on. So a few days ago.
But is Eckersley I don't fancy him as like a guy who like roasts the team.
No.
Like,
so this all
guy.
Came because Eddie Rodriguez was in rehab. He made a rehab start, and yeah. O'Brien read his stat line, talking about like how he gave a bunch of runs or whatever, and Eck just goes, yuck, and then kept going. And that was like weeks ago. And nobody said anything until Price went off, and then now it's become a thing. Now it's become a thing, though. Like, if he hadn't done anything, everybody would have forgotten about it. But no, because he did it, now every time something happens, everyone's like, yuck, and like makes a bunch of yuck jokes, because it's a
pretty
thing
funny.
Now. It is funny. Kind of. But anyway... So a couple days ago, Tutcher reported that a source close to Eckersley said that Pedroia was one of the players clapping and cheering for David Price.
I have heard that. I actually heard that on other...
And, well, I guess it was later confirmed by CSN.
Okay.
But your boy, Bradford. I always want to call him Chad Bradford, but
Rob Bradford
says his sources say Pedroia was not clapping.
But Rob Bradford's a big knob, right?
And
like
now,
he's always,
oh, yeah.
like, knobbing up with these guys.
Oh, yeah. And so now there's a source debate. There used to be, I don't know if you remember, when Minahan challenged Fred Tutcher to a sports debate one night.
I wish.
And that was a hilarious meme for a couple days. And now there's a source debate.
Okay.
And Bradford is calling Tutcher a liar and saying
is
that he's
Bradford
the sources.
Is Bradford going to disclose his sources as a news reporter?
I don't think he has sources because I don't think it's true. I think Tutcher is the one who's true. But
so is he saying, like, disclose your sources?
No, he's not saying that. He's saying you're wrong.
So what are they going to prove it? Are they going to fist fight?
Is everybody,
I hope so.
I hope they slap fight each other in the middle of Fenway Park.
So
that's stupid.
What
I'm
is
obviously
the,
on Fred Tucher's side because who cares about the rest of the bus?
He was just drunk. Media. He was drunk tweeting about it the other night. It was good. Entertaining. And my question to you, I posed this before the show off the air. The great Khali is back and seen a Pinja Boy Rusev. So why do you so wash the WWE?
Because it's awesome. I don't know, dude. I missed that whole thing. I didn't watch that pay-per-view. I don't watch SmackDown, I guess. But there's good stuff happening, you know? Like, there's still fun stuff, you know? You know? Jason Jordan is Kurt Angle's son. That's fun. It's funny because I was watching it with the neutral third party, Maggie. And she doesn't watch wrestling. But... So when she sees like the Hardy Boys come out, she's like, "Oh, these guys are the bad guys because they're in their 40s and they still dress like it's 2000." And like, why is this man wearing JNCOs? I hate them. And so like, whoever they're going against, she's like, "They must be the good guys because these guys suck." And like, saw the Jason Jordan thing and was like, "Kurt Angle is a great actor," which is like, Kurt Angle is a great actor for wrestling. Like, it's a dumb story. It's like, it doesn't... I don't know where they're going to go with it. I mean, they could go somewhere fun. They probably won't.
Right. But I was like, going to say
that. But, like, he sold it. Like, he cried. I was like, yo, that's... That's... Because you... Anyone... Not anyone. Because, obviously, there's a difference in actors. But if you're on TV and it's shot and there's, like, a cinematographer and you have makeup and lighting and blah, 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 blah.
Sounds like 2000 WCW.
You can make someone cry. Or you can make someone like feel emotion. Kurt Angle was like standing in a wrestling ring in Florida or whatever. And like, that's good acting, man. Like, he had to act as hard as he possibly could. And Jason Jordan does kind of look like Kurt Angle if you look at him really quick. Anyway, there you go.
Okay, that's the answer, I guess. And also, back on the horror movie train.
Yep.
We've seen The Girl with All the Gifts. Good.
Good.
Black Coat's Daughter. Not so good.
I'm gonna see The Girl with All the Gifts. It's like a zombie thing.
It's like it's cool because it's actually a underrated cast. And Gemma Arterton and Glenn Close.
Wow.
Are two of the stars.
That's weird.
And the actor, the guy whose name I always forget, plays a bunch of stuff, mostly British movies, but he's good. Anyway, yes, it's about kids who were their mothers were zombie or were bitten, infected or whatever by this fungus, and but they're kind of normal. So, like, they have normal cognitive function, but then if they smell, like, saliva or human or whatever and they get hungry, then they kind of have uncontrollable... They kind of become uncontrollable zombies for a minute until they feed, and then they go back to being normal. So Glenn Close wants to use her, this girl, to make a cure. So.
For zombieism?
Mm-hmm.
I can doubt that.
And Blackout's Daughter... It was actually made... Or came out 2 years ago in Canada, but then, like, shuffled a bunch of distributors and came out in the U.S. this year.
It's a weird
Emma Roberts
title,
is in
right?
It. It used to be called February.
Yeah, that's right.
And, it has promise, very atmospheric.
It's very
But in
70s.
The end, it's just, I wouldn't say 70s, now. But it's like, it seems cool, but then they kind of reveal what's going on more earlier than halfway through, and then it just becomes another, like, grisly serial killer movie. Not serial killer, but... Anyway, with that, I'm going to play... I don't know what's going on now here. We got to...
Hell yeah, you know what's going
J-pop.
On.
J-pop. This is Akira. Hmm. Anyway.
Probably.
To close... I was disappointed that you're not a fan of this band.
I mean, not a fan. I just don't, like... I'm neutral. I guess
All right.
I'm neutral.
I was going to say, harkening back to the pirate show, this band is basically pirates.
Fair enough.
So we're just going to play a random new... I've decided that I'm going to play a random new song at the end of every show.
Is it this song that's playing right now? Yo, you want to get in your... Oh, it's got Kawasaki's right out of here.
Oh. Let's see that. No, we have to...